spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
They are God of Israel.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available for the presentation of The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today by Arnold Pearl is entitled Enzo Sereni, featured by Jack Lloyd, Roger DeCoven, and Charlotte Holland.
He was a man who, holding a seed in his hand and standing before a desert swamp in Palestine, would tell you the comfort of the shade it would produce when it became a tree. He would point to where the flower would bloom in the marsh and tell of the taste of its future fruit. And just before his death at Dachau, where he was tortured, he wrote,
If you know how to live, my darling, as required, and how to die as is required, the light will not be lost.
His name was Enzo Chaim Sereni, and what he said is true. I know. I was his eldest daughter. My father's house in Rome when he was young had 20 rooms. Life for my father when he was 16 was a round of receptions, teas, banquets. There was always laughter and tinkling glass and always also something that my father hated.
Oh, wonderful, Guido, wonderful. It's the most exciting thing I've ever heard. So did you hear?
What was that, Marquesa?
Oh, how far away we are today.
Sorry.
Guido was telling me. Oh, tell him, Guido, just as you told me. And don't change a precious word.
I was saying, Sereni, have you ever been up in a plane? Been up at the controls?
No, I haven't.
Yesterday, I went up with the airmen. They let me hold the stick a while and guide it. Then I went back to the bombardier, looked through the sights. You've never done that?
No.
Oh, tell him.
We took a target, several stacks of hay in a field, and let fly with the bombs. Ah, I tell you.
Now, listen to this.
It was a symphony in movement. The bomb struck and burst, erupted, reached into the sky. It was a rose blooming, a flower opening, a violent, magnificent flower of destruction. I felt like a god.
Oh, just to hear him say it.
And someday, think, Enzo, to drop such roses on our enemies, to bring again the grandeur that was Rome, to build with our fascisti a new world, to cleanse the earth with violence.
Oh, what's the matter? Enzo, the cup is... Enzo, where are you going?
I haven't been feeling well. You'll excuse me, Marquesa. Signor Guido, scusa.
Perhaps it was because my grandmother lit candles every Friday night and said the words of blessing for the Sabbath Queen. Perhaps because the greeting that my father loved best was Shalom. Peace. Perhaps also he turned because of what he read aloud in the evening from the Book of Psalms.
Happy is the man that hath not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that bring forth fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither.
My father never walked. He flew. He was the wind. He never turned. He plunged. And from the polite terror of the teacups, he dug deep into the tradition of his people, into Zion. And he found the clay was rich.
Imtirtzu Einzu Agada.
He studied Hebrew, the language of Zion.
If you will, it shall be so. Imtirtzu Einzu Agada.
He lived with Akiba, Bar Kokhba, Judas Maccabee, the heroes of Zion. And when he was 21, he met Ada Ascarelli, the daughter of a merchant of Rome, a woman with the same clean look of love for him as he for her.
And what will your papa say when we ask him, Ada?
He will tell you very simply, you are mad.
That's all right. That's a good beginning. Just a minute. Ah, I'll give it a theoretical statement first. I'll say, Signor Ascarelli, you are aware, of course, as we all must be, that only by centralizing our forces will our holy land be rebuilt.
I was given to understand, young man, that you received highest honors in your class at the University of Rome. Is that correct, sir?
There was some talk like that.
And should you choose, you can replace your father at the university, perhaps even as physician to the king, correct?
That's flattering,
now
but...
you propose, sir, to marry my daughter. Forgo all this and sail off to a grimy outpost somewhere in Palestine.
Substantially, sir.
My answer I gave you at the outset. Mad.
That's about what would happen?
It would indeed, sir.
Well, I guess that leaves us no alternative. When do we sail?
Don't you think, Enzo, it's only right we ought to be married first.
They were married that year, and in 1926, they sailed for Palestine. Toward the end of the year, I was born. They called me Hannah.
Dear father and mother, Ada and I have settled in the Negev, in the south of Palestine. To look at, the land is not much, and to a Roman eye, it might even seem a wilderness. But at our settlement, where I work as a laborer, we call it the Orange Grove. For that is what it will be one day. As I write now, it grows dark, and if I am tired, it is...
He poured himself into the wilderness of the Negev, but the sands were vast, and one man may not conquer a waste alone. So my father took me in his arms and brought a merchant from the city. Together we three stood on the plains.
Reb Hanken, you're a man of vision.
Come to the point, Sereni.
If I tell you what this field that you're looking at...
Field? Wasteland, you mean. Go on.
This is a grove of orange. It begins here and runs back, 100 acres. To the left there, a grove in plum, 200 acres. And to the right, where the hill rises, there, 100 acres in grape.
It's getting
here,
late.
Here, the road to the coast will be built. The railroad will come through. And this will be a factory for making jam. We shall make raisin jam and plum jam and orange marmalade.
Sereni, I like words. I also like, money requires guarantees.
Every Friday, before the Sabbath candles are lit, we take the children of our colony here and I tell them the story I've just told you. I tell them the taste of the jam and describe the scent of the oranges in bloom.
But, guarantees.
I am your guarantee. This child, the children of this settlement, they are your guarantees, Reb Hanken. Tell me, are there better ones anywhere in the world?
The money was given, the dream nurtured and begun, and Gebat Brenner was built with my father's flesh and blood and with the love and hope of us, my mother, my sister, my brother, my friends. Where 30 souls once struggled between the parched hills, now hundreds worked and lived amid the growing green of grass, then trees, then orchards. And in the evenings, I remember, I was sick. My father would come from the fields at dusk.
Anna, my darling, run to Reb Bales and his wife and to Reb Miller and his sons and all the others and tell them tonight we listen to Songs from Brahms. You remember that? Songs from Brahms.
Songs from Brahms. Yes, Papa.
I would run to get them, And they would come and stretch out on the beds, on the floor, anywhere. And when they were all there, I would look up at Papa, and he would smile.
You may stay up tonight, Anna. Only be quiet.
Papa, what up, Brown?
And he would wind the Victrola. It was the old kind, electricity we knew nothing about. And there in the silence, we would listen. Each face was shining with fatigue and with peace. Some sat. Reb Baleson with his pipe in his mouth that he forgot to light. Reb Miller's oldest boy looking out the window into the stars. And I would sit between my father's knees, his hand in my hair. And he would whisper in my ear.
Those are Brahms, Anna. You like them?
Yes, Papa.
How long they used to listen, I never knew, for I would lie there till I fell asleep, and he would carry me into bed. Perhaps they fell asleep there, too, I never knew. As it is said in the words of the rabbi, he sought peace all his life, but for the righteous there is no peace. They came to him, the elders of our settlement, with their problem. The problem of Israel.
There is much hate in the world, Enzo. And we here are only a handful.
I know. We need funds, we need water, we need understanding. What do we not need?
Mostly we need people. Young people. We need seeds. Men and women who can look at a cactus and see a plum. We need those who could tell the taste of future fruit.
What are you saying?
We need the help of the world. Europe, America, Asia. We need someone to go and bring us this help.
What are you trying to say?
Maybe it's too hard to leave the life you love, the people you love, the land you love. You are the only one.
Have you spoken to Ada?
No.
Of course, my children don't know.
No.
All right. I'll try to tell them.
There were words spoken that night to my mother and my sister and to me. I did not understand them. He kissed us and stayed much longer than usual sitting on the foot of my bed. I fell asleep while he was sitting there. And in the morning, he was gone. He became the Shaliach of Israel, the emissary, the delegate to the world. He brought warm within his hands and strong in his throat the power of our dream and his. In Germany and Austria and France and America, to the youth of the world, he spoke in youth's tongue.
I bring you greetings from an ancient people and the youngest people on earth, a people that is being born.
Many listened and many also scoffed.
It is a land where oranges will grow, where sheep will graze and become fat, where freedom will be proclaimed, as the Bible says, to all the inhabitants thereof.
Many listened, but most scoffed, until... Then lightning struck. The swastika was burned in living flesh, and terror was proclaimed throughout the land and to the inhabitants thereof. It was war, official war. The delegate of Israel lowered his voice.
These passports will take you and your wife and children to Marseille, from there a boat to Haifa. There's a saying, only those die who wish to die. At Marseille, the boat will be waiting for Haifa.
And my father, who wanted only the luxury of absolute fatigue, learned smuggling, learned bribery, learned the art of swaggering in a Nazi uniform. He learned to pack a Torah in a coffin and to handle a revolver. And then one night, as he had gone, He came back. And I, who was 14, felt his weight as he sat on the edge of my bed, just looking, not saying a word.
Papa? Oh, Papa. Papa, Papa!
Hello, my darling. Hello, Hannah. Oh,
don't get up, Papa. Just sit there.
You're very big, Hannah. A very big girl, a lady. And so beautiful.
And you're going to stay, Papa?
We'll talk about it in the morning. You work very hard?
Not very hard, Papa. And I sleep like a stone. You are going to stay.
How's Hagar? And how do you like having a baby brother?
Papa, please tell me.
You remember, Hannah, years ago we used to go out in the orange groves and talk, you and I and all the other children?
Of course I remember.
Would you like to do that tomorrow?
Oh, yes.
Then we'll do that. We'll talk all about it, about everything.
And wait till you see the way Hagar dances. Only 8 and how she dances.
Tomorrow, my darling, I go back to sleep.
I closed my eyes, but of course I could not sleep. I listened as he went in and looked at Hagar, my sister, and at Daniel, my brother, the child he had seen only once before. I listened as he sat in the next room with Mama and talked.
Oh, such a family, such a family.
They miss you, Enzo. I miss you.
Adam, if you could see their faces, the people I've seen, the haunted, frightened people, people like yourself, like Hannah and Haggard, children, babies like Daniel, they come running out of every hole and cave of Europe seeking refuge, and each time they receive a whiplash across the face.
Hannah has missed you so much.
We're their only answer, Ada, if you saw the children.
I know. I understand, darling.
You know what I'd like? Very funny thing, even silly, perhaps. I'd like to stretch out on the floor and eat an orange and listen to some music.
What would you like to hear?
There was a Brahms lullaby I kept remembering all the years I was away.
I'll play it for you.
Tomorrow, will you help me tell Hannah why I must go back?
He was with us for a day. Then he left. He became a parachutist. He became a recruiter of parachutists and a trainer in Italy. He taught them, peasants and laborers from Palestine who wore the British uniform, how to squeeze a trigger, how to use the butt end of a rifle, how to run zigzag across an open field. He taught them how to jump from a plane into land without breaking your legs, how to jump in daylight and how to jump in darkness. He gave them their briefing.
All here?
All here, Captain Serrani.
At point A on the map, you will effectuate contact with guerrilla units. 40,000 refugees passing over the Alps will be given in your care by the partisan units. The action will take place in strongly held enemy territory. The first group will jump tomorrow night at 2200. Anderson?
Yes, Captain.
Group A is taking off now. Group B to follow in 30 minutes.
Very good. Why don't you knock off, Captain? You've been at it 48 hours.
Oh, I just want to watch them off.
Yeah. Good feeling.
To you, Major, a military mission is on its way. A successful action is in the making. You ever wondered what this means to the Jews of Europe?
How do you mean?
All over Europe, they'll hear we've come. The word will spread like fire. Jews came down from the sky. The impossible has happened. They who have no belief in anything, no hope, no will almost to believe, they will say it's an angel from the skies. And for the crushed and hunted, faith will be a possibility again. That flies in those planes, too.
I see. Well, why not turn in? The angels are on their way.
I might as well wait around.
Why?
A man has his vanity. I'm jumping with the second group.
middle of April 1944, my father flew his mission, a flight to northern Italy. And in that plane, that night, a wonderful thing took place, a miracle almost, even among angels. For that April night was a special night for Jews the world over.
I've brought the wine, the matzahs, the bitter herbs, and the prayer books.
It was Passover night. And in the plane, as they reached enemy territory, they read from the prayer books my father brought.
This year we are slaves. Next year we shall be free. This year we are free. Next year those that are held in bondage will be free.
The mission was completed. A success. The refugees were brought out. 10,000, 20,000. But not all who start a mission can complete one. Not everyone. In July of 1944, my father was taken to the prison camp at Dachau. And somehow, from that charnel house, he sent a letter. This is what he wrote.
Every time I see a child, my darling, my heart breaks a little. For I think, what are you doing at this moment? I wonder with what you're busy and what you're thinking. Do you sometimes think of your father far away? Perhaps I was mistaken not to have tried to make you understand the core of my soul and my work. But when you grow up, maybe
I will no longer be with you. You will understand someday that your father was always among strange people and sometimes did not find the time to talk to you. Your father goes from place to place to seek help so that we can build ourselves a homeland. And if we know how to live, my darling, as required, and how to die as is required, the light will not be lost. They never found my father. Only a statement in the Nazi files that a parachutist had been burned, the man who in his hours of torture spoke of Eretz Yisrael. And so at Gebat Brenner, we have built a memorial to his name. Here in the Negev, in what once was once a wasteland, we built a monument. And in it are the Torahs of Warsaw that he helped save. In it are preserved the gifts and wisdom of a people to the world. And in it also is an urn containing ashes from the furnaces of Dachau. Perhaps they are not ashes of his body, but they are his. And outside the Bet Sereni, the home of Enzo, as we call it, you can see the fields are filled with workers. And at night, the homes are warm with music. And from our house, you can see the acres of orange and of plum and of grape. And if you stand there for a moment, you can tell the taste of the future fruit.
And now we take pleasure in presenting Dr. Emanuel Newman, president of the Zionist Organization of America, speaking from Chicago.
You have just heard the saga of Enzo Sereni, who gave his life in that very charnel house from whose ovens he effected the rescue of thousands of his fellows condemned there to die. Had he and his brave comrades lived to witness the historic occasion at Flushing Meadow 3 weeks ago, when the General Assembly of the United Nations decreed the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine, they would have felt themselves amply rewarded for their noble exertions. Yes, rewarded even for their heroic death. We need funds, we need water, we need understanding, we need people, we need the help of the world, Europe, America, Asia, you've heard him say. It is for us now to continue offering that help and to carry forward the great work of mercy and of rescue and national reconstruction. It is for us to ensure that the momentous decision of the United Nations shall be translated into reality. It was my privilege to attend the committee meetings at Lake Success and to participate in their historic proceedings on behalf of the Jewish Agency for Palestine. As I sat through the sessions, day after day, while the detailed plan for a Jewish state was being hammered out, I could not help recalling that just 50 years ago, the first Zionist Congress was convened in Basel, Switzerland, by Theodor Herzl, the immortal founder of the Zionist movement. Since then, for 50 years, millions of men and women throughout the world have toiled and hoped, struggled and sacrificed to make the dream of a Jewish state, that was Herzl's, come true. They did so not occasionally or sporadically, but by sustained effort in an organized way. Their labors and sacrifices have been rewarded at last. Today, that vision, that aspiration, is nearer to realization than ever before in 19 centuries of heartbreak. The goal has almost been reached, but not quite. The next few months, the next year, will be the most critical and decisive. The real test is coming. We can give ourselves no respite until the many problems that still confront us are solved, and the dangers which beset the newborn nation have been overcome. Our task will not be over before the Jewish state has been firmly and unshakably established. This we owe to the 6 million martyrs whose ashes are strewn over the continent of Europe. We owe it to the brave Yishuv in Palestine. We owe it to ourselves, to our self-respect, to our past. We owe it above all to the generations that are to come. These are the sentiments which animate us today. We dare not relax. We'll enlarge and strengthen our organized forces to meet this supreme challenge. The action of the United Nations has given us a rendezvous with destiny. We mean to keep it.
Thank you, Dr. Newman. Our Eternal Light dramatization today was written by Arnold Pearl and was entitled Enzo Sereni. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Roger DeCoven was Enzo Sereni, and Charlotte Holland was Hannah. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor David Putterman, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Pat. Free time to present the Eternal Light was made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. The program appears under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you have any comments or inquiries about today's broadcast, please write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.